You are Locked On Ravens, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Ravens, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, I'm Jacob Troxell, and I'm with Matthew Stevens, and we are the Locked On Ravens podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Trox3, and you can find Matthew at Matthew_NFL. Matthew, how's it going? Good to be with you here again, and the Ravens are 1-0.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, the start of football is always a good one, but to see an absolute butt-whooping in week one in favor of the Ravens is always a great start to a season.
Yeah, it's a pretty dominant performance we saw from the Ravens yesterday, and we'll get into kind of our studs and duds later on, just kind of looking at some of the players that had the most impactful performances and those who didn't. But first, I want to mention our sponsors today, MyBookie, ZipRecruiter, and Sonos. So getting into the game here, the Ravens absolutely dominated the Bills, 47-3. The line was only 7.5, and that was easily taken care of, the Ravens hitting that over on their own. Joe Flacco looked good. The whole defense looked good. They held Buffalo to zero first downs in the first half, so it really wasn't close. Nathan Peterman struggling, and our guy from Locked On Bills, Kevin Masser, had a tweet that pretty much summed up how everyone was thinking, whether you were a Bills or Ravens fan yesterday, saying, Nathan Peterman is off what football. I can't watch this guy for another half. That was pretty much the feeling both sides of the ball had. Matthew, what stuck out to you in this game just as a whole? I mean, I know we both kind of had the Ravens taking control of this game early on, but was there anything that kind of surprised you in terms of how that was done?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this, you know, we talked a little bit about it ahead of this game, how the weather might impact, you know, the final score, the over-under, you know, the betting lines. We didn't really expect this to be a passing team in week one. I mean, just simply because there was 25 mile an hour winds, torrential downpours, the field is supposed to be a little slip and wet. Yet the Ravens threw 38 times. That is astounding, honestly. That's a good number for Ravens football if it's dry and beautifully sunny and a perfect fall day, much less like in a monsoon. So the fact that the Ravens came out throwing, didn't let up, and then found a great amount of success on that, astounding to me. I'm really excited about what they kind of showed there.
Yeah, it was a very surprising thing that they came out and started throwing the ball right away, and they used Lamar Jackson in a couple of different packages. We'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, they came out, started throwing right away, and Joe Flacco took care of business. Alex Collins, only 7 carries for 13 yards. He had the fumble there, so Harbaugh took him out of the game for part of that first half, just kind of as a soft reminder that, you know, you got to hold on to the football even in the conditions. But yeah, you didn't see the conditions really affect the receivers too much, which I thought was an encouraging sign for the Ravens, other than Crabtree early on had a couple of drops. But it seemed like the rain was downpouring earlier in the game more. So, I mean, it was raining all day, but it seemed like the conditions were worse in that first quarter. But Willie Snead and John Brown also getting involved. Each of them had a touchdown catch as well. Each of the new receivers in this offense catching a touchdown pass. So really a dominant performance from the offense to start. And another thing that I thought was interesting was, and I know, like I said, we'll talk about how they use Lamar Jackson, but just the different looks that the Ravens were using in that, especially those first couple drives.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously they put Lamar Jackson out there a bunch, both kind of as a decoy, and they fake some handoff to him. But for the most part, you know, they put him out in the field for a number of snaps early in the first half. More so than I kind of figured. I expected that he would stay on there maybe a snap here or there. You have to keep defenses honest. You got to go ahead and show a little bit in order for the entire year for defenses to have to game plan for him. But I did not expect 2 QB sets quite as often as we saw them in the first half.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because all offseason and after the draft and training camp and everything, there was no indication of that. Obviously, you wouldn't expect the Ravens to kind of come out and say that, but there was no indication of that. And Lamar wanted to prove, you know, he's a quarterback first. And there's still potential for that. Obviously, this is only game one of a very young career for Lamar Jackson, but that remains to be seen. But another thing transferring over here, we'll get into Lamar more, but I was impressed with the tight ends again yesterday, and you saw Flacco immediately in that first drive. He hit Boyle, he hit Max Williams, each ended up having three catches. They were an integral part of the offense without Hayden Hurst, and I thought that was a good sign for the Ravens.
Yeah, as you mentioned, each one of them got three receptions, and it was a matter of, you know, combined, they had nine receptions for 103 yards. You know, Joe Flacco, and as well as Lamar Jackson there later on in the second half, they spread the ball around a lot. I mean, you're looking at nine different receivers, both tight ends and receivers, and running backs, you know, caught passes. That is, they definitely did what they've done in the previous, you know, few seasons, in which everyone kind of gets a shot. They spread the wealth out, so that way you can't really key in on one guy. And unlike what we saw in Thursday night's game with, you know, the Atlanta Falcons, where Julio Jones was targeted 19 times. So as a defense, you can stop that one guy, and the rest of the offense is going to fall apart, as we kind of saw with Atlanta. You can't really do that with Baltimore. You got to go ahead and guard the tight ends. You got to guard the running backs. You got to guard the wide receivers. And if someone's open, the ball's going to them. You're not really seeing Joe Flacco force the ball into any situations, at least not this week, which was a huge bonus.
Yeah, and, you know, I tell you what, I would not want to be the Cincinnati Bengals defensive coordinator going into this week on a short week after seeing what the Ravens did to the Bills. You have all these new weapons, and now you throw possibly Lamar Jackson into the mix. And another big thing that came from the blowout was that the Ravens got to rest their starters for pretty much the entire second half, which is a huge plus going into that short week on the road against a division team. Thursday night, the Ravens will play that next game. So again, another positive coming out of that win, aside from just the offense looking good. But real quick, I want to talk about my bookie. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. And the truth is, I don't really know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to my bookie, because you win and they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code locked on to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code locked on when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. And if you took the over on the Joe Flacco fantasy numbers yesterday, you were probably looking pretty good. So, anyways, we continue to the Ravens offense. Lamar Jackson, he got a couple different looks yesterday. He was using some different packages. Matthew, what'd you see from how they used him? And was it a positive or negative for the offense? And how do you think Lamar showed in what he got in that first half especially?
Well, what I'll say is this. You know, while I liked Lamar Jackson being used in that first half, you know, again, certainly like I mentioned in the first segment, seeing him on the field, defenses now need to go ahead and incorporate that into their game plans defensively, which is just one more thing. And especially this week, short week, now you have to add in what is, you know, a handful of new plays with Lamar Jackson at the helm, or at least on the field, how he can possibly be used, how they showed he was going to be used. You know, that's dangerous. That's taking time away from planning against John Brown, Willie Snead, you know, Nick Boyle, Crabtree, Max Williams, the running backs, the entire defensive line that you're going to have to set up. You know, that adds a lot of stuff that a defensive coordinator needs to now do this week on what is essentially 3 days of practice. So, you know, that is a positive. I'll say this, though, on the other side, Baltimore, I think, would have done far better had they just skipped the gimmick plays and they just kept doing what they were doing. You know, not that they didn't necessarily work, but well, they didn't really work, if we're being honest. I mean, they did get some guys off the line of scrimmage. They did get some of the defensive backs to bite a little bit on end arounds and on Jackson maybe being the guy to go ahead and go to. But for the most part, they didn't really work. However, when we did see Joe Flacco just line up, take a snap, and throw it, the middle of the field was wide open pretty regularly. He was able to connect with his guys, you know, often enough to where I don't think you really needed the gimmick plays. If you were to add in the four drops, there were two from Michael Crabtree and two from Nick Boyle throughout the game, Flacco would have been 29 of 34. That's about as perfect in any conditions you can possibly get, much less the rain. So in a way, I think actually Lamar Jackson being on the field hurt them, everything considered. But 47-3, you know, I'll take it. Lamar Jackson can be on the field every single snap if it's 47-3 every single week. So,
yeah, I was going to say, you know, how much of that do you think was them just because I think, well, they started with it in that early on there when the game was still very much a game. But I wonder how much of that was Baltimore knowing they kind of already had it in the bag and just wanting to implement it because they, like you said, they want to have that as something other teams have to prepare for, even if they don't use it necessarily. I think the biggest thing they'll use it for is possibly in the red zone. I don't think it's necessarily something they're always going to use between the 20s, especially if he's your only, you know, down the road, if he's your only backup quarterback and Robert Griffin's not here, I would be very surprised if they continue to run something like that between the 20s. But how much of that do you think was just them wanting to have that other layer that people have to prepare for?
Well, and I think that's what the weird part is they primarily used him between the 20s. They didn't really line him up too much in the red zone, which is where he really would have done the best work. You know, he's got the speed. You go ahead and hand him the ball and use him as you know, an option either to throw it or to run it. That would have been huge, and they didn't really do that a ton in the red zone. So I still think they're trying to figure out how to best use him, if we're being honest. And that's kind of what you see typically around the entire league through week one and two, generally speaking, is offenses and defenses are still trying to just figure out what they have and what they can do. And part of that's because, well, the preseason, even though the Ravens got five preseason games, we really only saw the starters for less than an entire game in terms of snaps. So you didn't get a chance to really use him a lot there. And then they weren't really judicious in using him in that type of situation in training camp. So this was really the first time that we got a chance to see Lamar Jackson in this type of a role since he got drafted. So I think it's a matter of just kind of seeing what he can do. And certainly when you're up by that many points, it helps. And when you're dominating defensively like Baltimore was, you can be maybe a little bit more favorable with tossing a Lamar Jackson out there and playing around with what you got. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm curious to see how they use him on Thursday to see if just like you said, if that's all that was just, hey, here's a handful of plays, defensive coordinators, now game plan for it every single week, or if they actually do plan on bringing him out there every single week.
Yeah, and maybe that's part of, you know, going back to Robert Griffin, maybe that's part of what they saw in him that allowed in Jackson that allowed them to keep Robert Griffin as something where, you know, maybe they wanted to use Jackson. They had that as their plan all like well in advance that we could use him as a dual threat kind of thing and just store Robert Griffin as a backup. And it's not really like you're keeping three quarterbacks, you're keeping like two and a half and half yeah. a running back, you know? So it kind of made, I'm sure it made that decision a little bit easier. I would be very surprised if, you know, the Ravens had drafted a traditional pocket passer and kept three traditional kind of pocket passers like that. I don't think we would have seen that because we haven't seen that in the last 10 years.
I mean, I'll say this. I think the plan all along, if they were going to keep Griffin, which they obviously did, was it was going to be Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson. You have to have those two guys active. Obviously, Flacco is your starter. Jackson, if you ever want a defense to take you seriously for Jackson being on the field, he has to be active every single game. Griffin, at this point, I think, is the insurance plan for Joe Flacco. If he were to ever get hurt, Griffin is the guy that's going to come in and start, not Jackson. That's just the reality of it. And they're going to continue using Jackson in the same role that they are and have him as a backup to continue learning and to continue being that kind of decoy gadget guy for the rest of the season. And we'll see how that pans out long term. But, you know, it's Flacco and Griffin are your two starters, the two guys that you trust with this offense. Jackson is the guy that he still needs to learn a lot. And we saw that in this game. You know, he completed one of four passes for 24 yards. Now, granted, that one completion was big. It was to Max Williams, the tight end, for 24 yards. But he was inaccurate on his other three throws. He was chased around a lot. He did a lot of the things that I think we saw in preseason that were negatives, which was just not entirely sure where he was supposed to go at all times. Sometimes ran into pressure. In terms of trying to escape things, the offensive line didn't help him out a ton, but I think that was kind of where that was at. Is we saw Jackson do what Jackson did all preseason, just against a starting defense this time. So you know, he's just not really ready to take over.
Speaking of Lamar Jackson and Robert Griffin, both those guys had their own success in college, and the Locked On Network is expanding with college shows. Coming this week, Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Buckeyes, and Locked On Seminoles. Plus, we are already locked on to the Ducks, Nittany Lions, Bears, the Crimson Tide, the Wildcats, Razorbacks, Volunteers, and Cougars. Find your favorite college show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. So, and once again, you can follow us on Twitter at @MatthewS_NFL and at @Trox3. So getting into our studs and duds, Matthew, I'll kind of ask you to go through yours first. Who stood out to you yesterday and who didn't stand out?
Well, I'll say this for my studs. You can really pick out most of this team did exceptionally well, but I'll kind of leave it to a few players. And that was Joe Flacco. Again, like I mentioned before in the second or first segment, you know, had he not had the four drops that weren't his fault, he would have completed 29 of 34 passes. Passing attempts. As it was, he did 25 of 34, which was good for 73.5%, which was an astounding number for Joe Flacco. Usually he's in like the 60s, maybe even a little bit lower. 236 yards, three touchdowns, zero interceptions. And keep in mind, that's largely over just a half of football. We didn't really see him do very much in the second half, and then he got pulled completely in favor of Lamar Jackson. So, huge bonus there. I wasn't super happy with the two fumbles that ended up happening. One, he just botched the snap, and the other one was a bad handoff to Alex Collins. So those are things that I kind of want to see improved, but he gets a glowing review from me this week. In addition to that, I want to say I think John Brown did exactly what I expected him to do. He was a threat all over the field, both deep in that zone coverage. He found a good hole in the end zone. And had that touchdown, obviously. He was good in short yardage stuff in which you toss him on a slant. He's there, and he can go ahead and take the distance anytime. Now, he didn't break anything massive. He had that 29-yard gain. But generally speaking, you know, three completions to his way, 44 yards and a touchdown. And again, largely that was all in the first half because those guys started kind of getting pulled in the second half. And the run game really started becoming a big thing in the second half as well. Obviously up so many points. So that kind of just makes sense. Defensively, I was really happy with Brandon Carr. He primarily got Kelvin Benjamin, who has him beaten height by about 6 inches and has him beaten weight by about 60 pounds. He shut him down all game long. I think Benjamin had one completion when Carr was on him, but meanwhile Carr also had a completion, an interception that he returned down to the 1 yard line. So Carr was on him like butter on bread all game long, and that's a huge bonus for a guy who, you know, is in his 30s. A lot of Ravens fans kind of beat up on him last year because of some big plays that ended up going against him, or at least seemed to go against him. So Carr is kind of my defensive guy of the week this week. Tavon Young's also up there. Two sacks coming in on cornerback blitzes. Got a pass deflection. You really, everyone defensively did everything that they could have done. The entire defense kept the Bills to zero first downs in the first half. And if you count in penalty yards, which I do, the Bills had 5 total yards in the first half. 33 if you don't count penalty yards. But really, yeah, at that point, we're nitpicking.
I mean, I'd be shocked if we see a game that is more lopsided in the NFL this season than this one. Really. I mean, I don't think anyone, I mean, the Bills look like they're just not going to be very good unless Josh Allen can really step up and perform. But I don't think we're going to see, this is very unusual. You see a blowout like this at the NFL level. You know, maybe sometimes at the college level, our guys over there are watching some of those games, but gosh, this was, I mean, like you said, you could pick pretty much anyone. Going to what you said about Joe, he's proved over the years, time and time again, that he can play well in adverse conditions. Doesn't really matter what the weather is doing. He seems like he can always get in a rhythm. Last year, there was a play in the Bengals game where I know we've talked a little bit about this, where you know, those were some tough conditions, the cold weather. But he put a good throw on the money a few times, and those passes weren't always hauled in. That was really kind of the theme of the whole season last year on offense. But Joe is, again, just does it again in week one in the pouring rain. And yeah, like you said about John Brown, he was a guy who stood out to me. That 29-yarder, by the way, was the longest play of the game for the offense, for the Ravens. So this was an offense that was moving the ball very slowly but consistently, and that is also another thing that was a positive out of this game, that there was no big play that kind of bailed out the team. Like for those watching any of the Giants and Jaguars game yesterday, if you were looking at the box score and looked at Saquon Barkley's numbers, you'd think, oh, 100 yards, 20 plus carries, he had a good day. But it was really that 68-yard touchdown run that bailed him out. You know, this was a team that came out and knew what they had to do. They consistently moved the football, and that's a big plus. I thought Kelvin Benjamin looked disinterested. If I can choose a dud on Buffalo's side, I have to pick Benjamin because I think it's on him to help out Peterman. I mean, he's a guy who's been around a while. He had a good year that one year in Carolina before they went to the Super Bowl. I mean, he's got to attack the ball a little bit more. So I think I was expecting a little bit more from Buffalo, but especially kind of that situation on offense. And Humphrey was my standout on defense. He had 4 pass deflections, 2 in a row in one sequence. He was locked in. And I thought Carr and Humphrey both did a good job on Benjamin, even though, like I said, Benjamin maybe wasn't being as aggressive as he should have been, but both those guys were with him step for step pretty much the whole game.
Yeah, you know, I'll say this. Joe Flacco, when looking at his rating for this game, was one of the best quarterbacks this week. I mean, he was rated 5th in the league in quarterback rating behind Ryan Fitzpatrick with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who just destroyed the poor New Orleans.
Torched them.
Aaron Rodgers, who was a generational talent at this point. Drew Brees, who again beat up on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which not all that unexpected. And Patrick Mahomes, who got the Chargers and that pretty dreadful defense. So, you know, Joe Flacco also beat up on a defense that maybe isn't all that great, but he did 121.7 quarterback rating over really just a half of football. Really impressive stuff that you got to point out in terms of this offense. And to mention, you know, Marlon Humphrey, you're completely right, Jacob. Pro Football Focus had him coverage rating of a 90.2, which is in their elite category for this week. Total all, I think his entire grade, if I'm correct, was like an 89.8 or something along those lines, which was also astoundingly great. So, you know, Humphrey and Carr seem to Now, granted, they're going up against Zay Jones and Kelvin Benjamin with Nathan Peterman as a quarterback, but you know, right now it looks like Jimmy Smith might not be that missed this season defensively for this first four games. We'll see as they get to more prolific offenses in terms of the Bengals, Broncos, and Steelers, but that was as good of a first game defensively as I think you could possibly have.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's wait until we get to A.J. Green and Antonio Brown. We might need Jimmy Smith back then.
Yeah, you know, but
we'll see.
I think, you know, again, for what you were kind of looking for this game, it's the first game of the season. Baltimore came out swinging both offensively and defensively. Really, my only dud in this game was Alex Collins, who kind of, as you mentioned, just really didn't do very much. Seven rushing attempts for 13 yards and a touchdown. His longest was 8 yards. So in all reality, he had 6 rushes for 5 yards. Buffalo was all over him. Now, you can blame the offensive line, who was pretty dreadful all game long, if we're being honest. But Collins had 2 fumbles, one on that botched handoff, where he got pushed to the outside a little further than Flacco could actually hand him the ball. So he only got about the tip of it. Ended up being fumbled. But then he also fumbled another ball. It was a solid hit, but you know, Collins and his fumble history last year, there's a reason why he got benched for part of this game as well in favor of Javorius Allen and Kenneth Dixon. And then Dixon came in at the end of the game when the Bills should know that's all the Ravens are going to do, ran 13 times for 44 yards and a touchdown, as well as a 15-yard scamp for his largest run. So Collins, that's a little scary to see out of a guy that everyone's really expecting big things out of this year. Hopefully we see things kind of change around now that, you know, Joe Flacco put up so many yards and looked so good. Hopefully that backs defenses off of him a little bit, but it is concerning moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, you know, seven carries for 13 yards, definitely not what you want to see. I thought that maybe if they had given him a few more carries in that first half, maybe tried to get him going a little bit more, I think he would have gotten into more of a rhythm. And I think if they didn't have Lamar Jackson on the field, maybe that maybe Lamar Jackson being on the field is another element that defenses have to be concerned with, and it helps him. But I think they also, like you were kind of alluding to a little bit, they tried to get Jackson implemented into the offense almost in a forced way. And I think that did kind of stall a little bit of what the Ravens were trying to do. Now Jackson did end up 7 carries for 39 yards. So that average wise, the leading rusher on the team at 5.6 yards, but that was with 1 16-yard carry. So that kind of was the outlier there. But really, yeah, my biggest doubt, I'm glad you brought that up, was Alex Collins and really just kind of the whole running game, averaging 3.4 yards a carry yesterday. I know a lot of that was kind of just garbage time running the clock out, but I was expecting to see a little bit more of a push from the guys up front. But again, blowout game, so it's tough to kind of take that whole sample size as a true kind of fourth quarter sample size. It feels like, even though we've had 5 preseason games and now this 6th regular season game, that we still haven't really seen this whole, you know, the whole team play for 4 consecutive quarters for something meaningful now. So maybe that's what we get Thursday night if the Ravens and Bengals have a close game, which is, I think, what everyone is kind of expecting. I haven't seen the early line released yet, but I don't imagine that the Ravens would be too big of a favorite on the road there. But we'll get into all of that in our crossover episode, so stay tuned for that later this week. But yeah, we'll get into all that. So stay tuned and subscribe to us on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, rate us 5 stars, and let us know what you think. And we'll see you tomorrow.